Anthony, the problem is when you make a joke on Twitter the day of a tragedy, it seems like you're making fun of the victims, and that's wrong. But that's not what I'm doing. Because you see, the day of a tragedy, victims are not on Twitter. Am I wrong? Tell me I'm wrong. The day of a tragedy, victims have got victim shit to do. No one has ever been putting on a tourniquet asking, hey, are we trending? No.
All right, welcome back. Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things. This is Sam Marcoux. I'm here with Matt Somerville once again, down in Los Angeles, holding it down for the movie industry, making sure that those lovely movies that you all love are getting made, those TV shows are getting produced, and those commercials are getting ignored more and more. And what you just heard was Anthony Jeselnik talking about tragedies and what happens the day of a tragedy on social media, which... it's very true. I think that happens to everybody, and it's kind of appropriate because Matt and I, first of all, hello, Matt.
Present.
Yeah, I was just going to talk, and then you're just going to stand in the background like a rapper's, B-boy that stands in the background of a rap video and doesn't do anything but shake his head and fold his arms.
I couldn't actually make it, so Sam is just pretending like I'm here by talking about me frequently.
Yeah, it's weird that I do that, yet I have an entire puppet that I do, even though this isn't a visual podcast, so it's weird that I go through that much trouble.
Sam gets lonely.
Very lonely. It's very lonely in the Predictably Drunk studios, and I'm actually in the Predictably Drunk studios. A lot of people don't know this because I'm a wizard, but I usually... I'm now these days reporting this thing on the road with people, including yourself. And this time I'm actually back in the friendly confines of my Predictably Drunk studios, a.k.a. garage of my home.
Yeah, we're back. We're both back in the nests. Last couple of podcasts have been remote, but we're back home now.
Which is probably why the quality is so much shittier, because we're using our expensive mics. That makes no sense to me. I don't understand... how I have cheap mics that I use on the road just to kind of get me by, and it sounds better than the expensive-ass mics that if I look at incorrectly, they're like goldfish. If I look at them incorrectly, they just fucking die, and I got to go buy a new one.
That's my entire life with everything.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to drive you mad as somebody who deals with equipment, you know, doing that for people that don't know, Matt has been working with movies and production, television production for a long time, and dealing with lighting rigs, dealing with lights, dealing with microphones, dealing with shadows, dealing with actors and actresses and prick-ass comics. It's got to be a nightmare day in and day out. You have the patience of a saint.
I don't. I just internalize it, and they turn into future strokes. they're just stored away like a chipmunk with food.
Matt's like he's like a human tree. Every time I see him, there's just another ring around his center that's just a stroke that's going to hit him later.
Yeah, it's ugly.
No wonder you smoke so much. But yeah, we were talking a little bit off air about Facebook. I was kind of working with my equipment, and Matt made the mistake of going on Facebook for what, 30 seconds, 2 minutes?
It's such a dumb thing to do. Yeah. I should delete this shit from my phone, but I can't.
Well, it's interesting because on the last podcast, which by the way, thank you guys for listening, Star Wars versus Star Trek, I've got a lot of Trekkies that are mad at you, Matt, for yelling at them, but then again, they're Trekkies. What are they going to do? Fake hate you?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, they can't do anything.
They're stupid. Yeah. They don't count.
They don't count. But we were sitting there drinking, talking about Star Wars with Star Trek. Apparently, the Trekkies are very good with the internets, which makes sense. They set their phasers to stun, and they're emailing me. For the record, Star Trek nerds, I'm not the one who said anything bad about Star Trek.
It's your show, though. You fucked up by having me on there.
Matt Somerville... Somerville.
That's not how you spell it at all.
I don't even know if that's true. But
you actually nailed it. I was just trying to defer.
So a lot of people are mad about it. But at the end of that podcast, you actually went on a drunken tirade about social media. So I find it appropriate that we're now talking about it again, because I think we're going to delve into this, the recesses of your mind and what you feel about social media. And it's weird because when I put these podcasts out, you know, I always put, you can follow me on Twitter, you can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, God, who named, stumble upon everything that I'm on. And then I get to you as the co-host and it's like, basically, don't follow Matt. He doesn't like you.
Yeah, I'm off the grid. I'm off the grid. I just come in and I speak words and they're probably all horribly upsetting and then I leave.
So you do have a Facebook, and I'm not going to put out, you know, what your Facebook name is, but it's Matt Somerville, by the way. But if
it's not a fucking hard thing to guess. You've already said my name 3 times in full since this podcast started. But that's okay. That's okay. I'm not going to accept your friend request if you want to yell at me or something or blame me or something.
What's interesting about that before you get into this is that I always put, you know, friend me on Facebook, and then I will get randomly throughout the week, I'll get, X amount of friend requests from people I've never heard of. And they're probably listeners to this show.
Something?
Yeah. And I deny it every single time because I'm like, I don't know who the fuck you are, and you're gonna tag me in a sunglasses ad that I want no part of, and so then I'm alienating my fans. So sorry.
Your fan base stays around the 249 number.
No, it's a little bit more than that, just because getting into this, my entire Facebook feed now is nothing but comedians trying to promote their stupid shows that they're doing somewhere, which, to be honest, they're only really promoting it to other comedians. It's like a weird vacuum that I live in now.
Yeah, none of my friends actually like their jobs. So anything that I come across is along the lines of, check out this cool video about poop that I saw on YouTube today.
Yeah, so you kind of alluded to this. I mean, Facebook, it's got 30 billion people, or 3 billion, who knows? I don't even know. It's got a lot. It's got a billion with a B. In terms of users out there. But it does seem like it's more and more going to go in the way of MySpace, where it has just turned into basically the internet version of Times Square. It's nothing but ads and promotional shit for everything. The internet's billboard. And people aren't even really on there anymore to talk about themselves, which was like the whole point of this thing to begin with, right?
So I should just clear the air. Facebook is the only thing, the only piece of social media that I subscribe to. And my stance, very quickly, my stance on Twitter and Instagram is that they're bullshit, because Facebook has both of those things. Twitter started out as just, 149 characters per post. Instagram is post pictures. Facebook, you can do both of those things at once, and have always been able to do that. So I just need one. I don't need 19 different ways of telling you that I'm bored at work, or that my cats love me. Like, I don't – it's just one output for that one venue. And the entire reason I keep Facebook is to keep up with friends for you know, those that I've moved away from, like 98% of my friends coming down to Los Angeles. And so it was a means to kind of keep up with them. And now I'm just keeping up with their favorite Fetty Wap tracks.
Well, I mean, Fetty Wap is the exception to the rule that we're now establishing about Facebook being an asshat. But no, you know what's interesting about that? Because you're right. Facebook is kind of the central hub where you can do all of those things, like post videos and pictures and all that stuff. But what's interesting to me is I'm fine with competing social medias that are out there. Obviously, Twitter's pretty large. I think they're the number 3 social media that's out there. Pinterest, I believe, is number 2, if I'm not mistaken. MySpace, I don't know who's still on MySpace, but MySpace is still in the top 10, which just floors me. Yeah, I think it's all a bunch of bands, you know, that just kind of sit around put their music or some shit. I don't know. But the point is, what's interesting about Twitter and Instagram and all of these other places that you can do these things separate or do it all at once on Facebook, people will post something on Instagram and then share it on Facebook.
So stupid.
It's like, I don't like that level of sophistication. I don't want my social networks being social with one another. I don't know why. I guess that makes me an old man in terms of.
No, that's an absolute bombardment of information. You are a social terrorist if you are flooding different fucking mediums of social media with the same goddamn information. That is insane.
By the way, Social Terrorist sounds like an amazing indie rock band group. So if that's not taken and you're looking for a name for your group, and that's
10%,
it right there.
10%. Yeah. That's all I want.
I don't know how many times I'm supposed to like it. Like a friend of mine can post something on Facebook and it's a picture of their kid and I go, oh, cool, it's a cute kid, and I click like, and then I go on Instagram and it's the same exact, literally the same exact photo. And then
the same kid.
And it's the same kid, and then I go on Twitter, and it's the same exact photo on Twitter, and I'm like, shit, I no longer like the kid, I no longer like the photo, I no longer like the person, it's too much.
To begin with, I just barely liked you enough to pretend to like your own kids, like, don't push it.
Right, and then, you know, then there's people that subscribe to the theory that, well, look, people don't, because of all these algorithms, I have to repost things every 4 hours, especially with like what I do with stand-up comedy, is that people want to promote their stuff all the time, so they'll throw a flyer out there, and then they'll just redo it. And you know who does it a lot? Kabir Singh. My good friend Kabir Singh will repost the same photo, same flyer, 5 to 10 times a day. Now, for me, it makes me want to shoot myself in the fucking head, because A, I probably made that flyer for him because I do a lot of his graphics, and B, I don't need to see it 5 to 10 times. I see every time Kabir posts something, and then it's just the same thing over and over and over again. And as a comedian, I get tagged in that shit every single time. If I'm on a show and somebody wants to promote it, and let's say there's 7 comedians on a show, I get tagged 7 different times, X amount of times a day, for being in that picture because I'm on that show, and they want my friends to see it and possibly get more people there. It's a nightmare.
I was about to use that exact word to describe that situation. A goddamn nightmare. Your phone must never stop ringing or buzzing.
So I turned off all my notifications, and I turned on the ability to have to approve any and all posts that I'm tagged in. So hopefully I'm not inundating all of my friends with my propaganda, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, it's entirely too much. It's entirely – because anyone with a job with even a shred of responsibility knows that, you know, a buzzing phone means somebody wants something from you. That's an email. That's a text. Whoever is, you know, a client, whatever, they want something from you. They want you to do something. And just the buzzing noise or sensation of your phone while you're at work is like, oh, fuck off. And then it gets to the point where – you check your inbox, and that shit's from like Bed Bath & Beyond offering 20%, and you're so happy that it was just Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yeah, like, oh, it's a spam. It's not any of my friends trying to talk to me. Good day.
Thank God.
So yeah. I'll tell you a funny story about the phone buzzing. I was actually at the San Jose Improv. This is now a couple of years ago, and Matt is unfortunately a San Jose Sharks fan, so he's probably not going to like this story. But I was actually on stage at the San Jose Improv, and it was Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals between the Los Angeles Kings and Chicago Blackhawks. And I left my house, and the Kings were losing. I'm like, well, that sucks, but Chicago is Chicago. You know, good game, all that fun stuff, good season. So I'm on stage and I'm doing my set and my phone is vibrating like crazy. And I know now, because of how often my phone is vibrating, I know the different alerts. So Twitter buzzes in a different way than Facebook. Facebook buzzes in a different way from texting. Texting buzzes in a different way than if you have like the NHL Score app, for example. So I'm sitting in my, you know, standing on stage trying to concentrate on telling these, you know, well-crafted dick jokes, and my phone is just going off with the NHL score update shit. And right. I think I was supposed to do 15 minutes that night. I got off stage in 10, and I walked right off the stage and pulled out my phone, and the Kings had not only come back to tie the game to go into overtime, they won the game and went on to the Stanley Cup and beat the New York Rangers for the Stanley Cup championship. But yeah, it was like one of those things where I'm like, oh my God, I know the different buzzing that
that's
is going off.
That you know that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I could tell when people were texting me like, oh my God, are you watching this game? And then I knew when they were scoring because of the way that they were, it was insane. And I was like, that's too much, absolutely too much.
Yeah, no man should know that. So I, as we do on the show, I am drinking Firestone's 805 Blonde, this eve. How about you?
You know, I actually am drinking my Christmas present. I actually have my youngest sister's boyfriend is growing into be a nice young man and a very promising alcoholic, just like me. And for Christmas, he got me a growler of Drake's Denogonizer, which is about 10.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go. If nobody's ever had it, Drake's Denogonizer is about 10%. It's an IPA, double IPA, was it? Imperial IPA, whatever they call it. I don't know. It's a big drunken jug of happiness. So I cracked that open and I'm sipping on that myself. 805, by the way, Firestone is, that's a great brewery. I actually drank that last week. I was down in Monterey and there's this place, Matt, you can't eat hot stuff, right?
I just prefer not to for the safety of my butthole.
Yeah, Matt's kind of got this interesting thing where he will eat something that's I would consider mild, and then he has to disappear for like 3 days and just shit his brains out. So I love hot stuff. There's a place called the Pepper Palace. They're not paying me. This is not sponsored by them, but it's called the Pepper Palace, and you walk in and it's hot salsa, hot sauce, barbecue sauce, hot mustard, all of these amazing concoctions, and you can just try anything. So they've got tortilla chips and you can just fucking dip it and try it. And I was just a kid in a candy store or a grown man in a pepper store, and I'm just eating the shit out of all of these things. And you know how like when you eat something hot, it'll be like 1 or 2 seconds and then the fire will hit your mouth, like that dry heat?
Okay. I don't.
Okay, so when you eat something really hot, you can usually take a bite of it and your whole body is like in shock for like a second and a half. It doesn't realize what it just took. So you're kind of like, well, that wasn't hot. And then the air, the oxygen kind of coagulates that heat inside your mouth and everything is just, you turn into a fire-breathing dragon. So I'm used to that. And that happened a lot when I'm in there, except for I got to this thing called Death by Salsa, which sounds very horrible. Oh, it sounds amazing. So I take a bite of this stuff called Death by Salsa, and I could feel the heat before I even bit down into the salsa. That's how hot this fucker was.
Yeah.
And I took a bite. I chewed like 3 times, and I was like, I have made a tactical error in my life, and this is going to end very, very poorly for me.
Oh, boy.
So I actually ran out of there. The guy was laughing at me, this little teenage punk. I ran out of there, and there's a brewery like around the corner. So I went to the Cannery Row Brewing Company and sucked down like 3 805s just to get the heat out of my mouth. And then I had like 4 more because, I mean, why not? But
right,
the first
right.
3 was just a medical issue.
Because alcoholism. So eating hot things is like getting having violence committed on your nutsack. Like there's a grace period there of a couple seconds where everything's fine. Everything's fine, and then hell rains down on you.
Yeah, the way your body reacts to getting kicked in the nuts is such a kick in the nuts. You know what I mean? Like
I do.
It's like you get kicked in the nuts, you're like, oh my God, this is going to hurt. And then you got like 3 seconds, you're like, it doesn't hurt. And then the next thing you know, you're vomiting up your testicle right through your throat. It's the worst. And then it just sits around and throbs, and not in a good way, for like 35 minutes.
It feels like it's going up into the rest of your body.
Yeah, I don't know what that whole – there's got to be a name for that, like thrombosis. Like I know that's not it, but it should be called thrombosis.
It's very apt a description. That's what it feels like.
It's like when, you know, oh my God, what do you got, thrombosis? Oh my God, who kicked you in the testicle? You know, like people should know.
Did you get a return gift for Nick Nolte for getting you the Neenogonizer?
Yeah, I think I got him a book on how to mix beer and spirits together for like a fusion alcohol drink.
Oh, that's safe.
So
advisable.
Yeah, he got me alcohol, and I got him a book on how to make alcohol more alcohol-y.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're keeping it we're keeping it nice and safe.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. All well, right. That's what we do here in Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things. This is Sam Marcoux and Matt Somerville. Matt is back down in L.A., Burbank to be exact. I am up here in the Bay Area, and we're just shooting the shit. We're talking a little bit about social media, the social media terrorists that are out there, as well as apparently hot sauce and beer. But what is the worst offender on Facebook for you? Like, what's the worst type of social media person on your friends list? Is it the guy who promotes his own shows like me? Is it the emo chick or the emo dude that's got to, you know, share every fucking thought? Or like, what's the worst for you?
The worst is throwing out like a one sentence feeling like, I'm so pissed, ... fucking red smiley emoji face. Like, fuck you, man. Everybody knows what you're doing. That's something a 3-year-old, there should be 3-year-old Facebook and everyone else Facebook, because that's 3-year-old shit. Like throwing out something just for attention, just to get somebody to reply and be like, oh, what's wrong? Like, oh, how can I make you feel better? And then they're like, no, don't worry about it. I don't want to talk about it. It's like, oh, you fucking, oh, it's just the worst. That's the worst.
The vague book poster, if you will, the person that lets you know that there's something going on but won't tell you what that something is.
Yeah, it's just and to be honest, I don't experience it a lot because if someone does that, they're immediately deleted off of my Facebook. Because I really, you know, I would say that I check Facebook maybe once a day, and that's during a cigarette break. It's something to look at while I'm de-stressing from something else that's pissed me off. I get 5 minutes for Facebook a day. I want that to be a pleasant 5 minutes. I want to hear that someone did something good or is happy about something or accomplished something or received money for something or for nothing. Whatever. You receive money. I'm happy for you. It's great. But I don't want misery. I don't want complaints. I used to complain on Facebook, and I realized that I was being a bit of a D-bag by doing that. No one else needs to know my problems. They're my problems. I'll deal with my problems. You deal with your problems. Let's keep those problems separate.
Literally Matt's Facebook is updating with that phrase as he talks. It's your problems are your problems. My problems are my problems. Let's keep that separate. I'm going to like that.
I think that would be great if everyone could just follow that MO. What is it for you? What's the worst for you?
Yeah, you know, it kind of changes for me. I think right now the thing that I hate more than anything, and it's been going on for at least 6 to 7 months, if not longer, is the proliferation of comedians on my Facebook. Anytime any sort of news breaks now, I dread going on social media just because I know that there's going to be every hack comedian, every good comedian, everybody's going to have the same joke, essentially. Steve Harvey fucks up the Miss Universe thing.
Right.
Immediately, 75 million comedians are on there writing memes, writing jokes, doing it. I did the same thing. I actually fell into that trap because I happened to watch it on the East Coast live, and I was dying because he just fucked up so bad. It was so funny to watch somebody fuck up.
Very funny.
But the amount of comedians that are on there is one. But recently, honestly, it's been like that, all those clickbait articles where you'd be like, everyone thought it was a normal dog, and then this happened. You won't believe what's next, and then you click on it, and really the dog doesn't do shit, right? Like they're really good at writing these captions and these teasers, these clickbait headlines, and then you click on it, and nothing ever happens. However, there is a hero amongst us, Matt. I'm here to tell you, there's a comedian named Nick Guerra. He has fallen on the sword for all of us. You should follow this guy on Facebook. And what this guy is doing is going through every clickbait article that pops up on Facebook, clicking on it, reading it, digesting the information, and then re-forwarding it back out to Facebook and spoiling whatever it is the clickbait headline is supposed to be, and then tells you whether it's a good article or not a good article in order to read. I think that is fucking awesome.
That's like the, what is it, the Snopes of bullshit news articles.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly. That's great. He is the Snopes of comedians on Facebook. That's probably the most accurate thing to say.
That's tremendous. I love that.
And if you look at his Facebook, it's actually every time he does that, he gets like 75,000 likes from people. So it's just the funniest thing in the world. So like right here, I'm just reading. I'm now on his Facebook, just laughing at everything that he's doing right now. And it's just, you know, right at the end of it, like, don't read it. It's not worth it. He's doing the Lord's work.
Wow, that's very selfless of him. He's like Mother Teresa.
Yeah, and so like right now, it's something about you won't believe what Star Wars has done now, and you think, oh my God, they did something, right? Well, really, it's an article that says, The Force Awakens tops Avatar to become number one film of all time in North America. It is still in fourth place for best film globally. It releases in China soon and might become number two just behind Avatar. There, don't read.
It's words like you won't believe what Star Wars did. Like everyone, who wouldn't believe that Star Wars would make money?
Right. But you're led to believe that it's going to be something sinister. You know, and that's the shit that I hate. I hate the clickbait articles. If I had to nail it down to one thing right now, that's the thing I hate on Facebook the most. It's on Twitter. That's the same thing. And Instagram, I hate everything about Instagram. I'm not going to lie. I hate Instagram. I hate that I kind of have to be on Instagram for what I do.
Yeah.
But it's not a pleasant experience.
Well, the funny one now is that someone posted a picture of a dog, claiming that it was horribly burned by a shitty owner and that it needs your help. And it's just someone who put a piece of ham on a dog's face. and that's being passed off as this horribly abused dog. And millions, apparently millions of prayers have gone out in sub posts or reposts or whatever the fuck you want to call that stupid shit. I thought a fun way to round this one out would be for me to just kind of give it a scroll.
Let's just do that. Let's just go through your timeline on Facebook real quick, and we'll just see what nuggets of goodness your friends and family are leaving behind on this internet trail.
Okay, well, there's one that pokes fun at the absolutely asinine dummies in Oregon right now, staging this gun protected protest, and claiming that they want their land back. And then, of course, there's a picture of a Native American man laughing his face off.
Yes. LOL.
Yes, correct. News Channel article about a man breaking into homes in Texas and tickling buttholes.
I saw that. Yes.
That's officially news in 2016.
So this man, again, this sounds like something Nick Guerra would actually get to the bottom of and read and tell me, you know, in a synopsis here. But this man apparently is breaking into homes in Texas, and he's not stealing anything. He's not punching anybody. He's not necessarily sexually assaulting people, although I suppose touching buttholes and tickling them could be viewed as sexual assault. But that's all he's doing. He's tickling people.
I mean,
in the butthole.
Different motives for different folks. Is that how that saying goes? Different strokes for different folks is what that guy could probably get away with claiming. I don't want to know about that, though. That's not news to me. There's another one here. It's just a video of a 6-year-old girl dribbling basketballs. And I guess it's special because she's 6, and 6-year-old children don't typically do that sort of thing. I thought that's what they did. Is that not correct? You have child.
I better not have children. I have a child. Well, to be fair, I mean, I'm in my 30s and I can barely walk down the stairs of my house without falling the fuck over. So I think a kid being coordinated enough to dribble a basketball, probably, I'm assuming, fairly adept at doing so is somewhat. It's better than the guy tickling buttholes. I'll put it that way. I think that's.
I mean, I guess if you had to put two things on a spectrum.
What if you combine the videos and you had a guy tickling a basketball? You sick fucks! You thought I was going somewhere else with that?
Come on, Jesus Christ!
Yeah.
I thought you were. but no, like I watched this for a couple minutes because it was a bit mesmerizing watching these. It's going to sound bad, these balls bouncing up and down. Then I realized...
Why does that sound bad, you homophobe?
You're very accusatory tonight.
Yeah, well, this denogonizer is getting to me.
Yes, it is. I thought after a couple minutes, I'm like, you know, great, she could fucking bounce a ball up and down. This is not ESPN worthy. Like, throw on a court. She's probably terrible at the actual sport of basketball. It's like trick shotters. Throw them on the court. I want to see how they do with the actual sport.
I'm pretty sure LeBron James is going to pick her up and slam dunk her into the hoop if she were to try to get on there. But, I mean, she's 6.
Holy shit. I have to bring this up. I'm so sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. Breaking news.
The dumbest white woman to ever live on this fucking planet is suing LeBron James. I hope this is a joke. I hope this whole thing's a joke.
Dumbest white woman to ever live here, so that could be 3 of my ex-girlfriends, so I need you to specify.
I'll specify. If any of the 3 ex-girlfriends that you have had in the past are indeed suing LeBron James for $15 million for looking at them, then yeah, it might be one of those people.
Is this the chick from the Warriors game that he caught? She was making fun of him, and he like stared at her, and then she became an internet joke because he basically, you know.
Yeah. He looked at her. He caught the crybaby emotion. Looked at her for maybe another second. She kind of cowered a little bit. She kind of looked away. She's like, oh, shit, I got caught.
Right.
And that was the entire exchange. apparently now suing LeBron James because she felt like her life was in danger.
Oh my God. Scary black man was chasing me down. That's so stupid.
The reason I think it's a joke was because they included a quote from this woman that said, please forgive me when everyone later finds out that this is a joke, and then I sound stupid. Just forget that it ever happened. She said that it's not like I hate black people. I just don't like black men. Which I think still qualifies as racist. I do hear typing, and Sam is currently looking this up on Snopes right now. He is looking this up to he couldn't wait to call me an idiot.
I looked up LeBron James being sued, and that is not on here. But I do see a guy who is suing LeBron. Supposedly LeBron's father is suing him for defamation of character, even though apparently this guy wasn't around in LeBron's life his entire life. And LeBron said, look, he's not.
Here's a video labeled Tom and Jerry planning on how to steal food from Subway. It's just a fucking cat and a mouse looking through the window at Subway for 5 seconds.
Which, by the way, I saw that video, and it actually looks like the cat's about to eat that fucking mouse. Like, if you look at it, he kind of bats it around like, I'm just going to fucking eat you because you're a stupid-ass mouse. And then everyone's like, oh, it's so cute. 5 seconds after that video was turned off, I'm sure that cat killed that fucking mouse.
Yeah, there's a lot of glass between me and delicious Subway sandwiches. I'll kind of just take it out. I'll take the difficult part out and eat the mouse, friend.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened there. But everyone's like, oh, cute. I agree. Your Facebook is awful. I would delete that shit. That sounds like a travesty.
I'll go ahead and close this one out since I just started bleeding. And that's always a you know.
Why are you bleeding?
If you're sitting in a chair, inactive, you shouldn't start bleeding.
You're like a claymation character from a Tool music video. You just like fall over sitting in a chair and your head busts open. Why are you fucking bleeding?
It's bad news. I don't know. I was just touching my face and then blood came out. So we gotta go.
Yeah, apparently Matt's gotta go to the hospital. Yeah, you are bleeding. Are you bleeding from your dick?
Oh, God, I haven't checked yet. I'm afraid.
I have a story about that we will share on another podcast. That's what you call a tease, ladies and gentlemen. But I recently was bleeding from my dick, so I will tell that story on a later podcast for everybody to listen
vomit to.
Yes, that's why you guys will be drinking. You guys will be predictably drunk, and we'll still be the smart people talking about stupid things. This is Matt Somerville. I am Sam Marcoux. You can catch me on sammarcoux.com. You can catch us on predictablydrunk.com. Twitter is Tiger Comedy. Matt is not on Twitter, so don't follow him. He gets
I don't exist. Fuck off.
Yeah, he does not exist, so fuck off. And then you can catch me at any of my shows coming up, January 17th at The Huddle. I'm in some sort. I think I'm in a comedy competition. I don't even know the details on that. I should probably find that out, but I think that happens in March for Rooster Teeth Feathers. And then, I don't know. You can just find me places, throw stuff at me. I don't care. Smart people talking about stupid things. Until next time, keep drinking.
It's coming for you.